Today is the deadline to register to vote in Florida. Just ahead, we speak with 3rd Congressional District candidate Ken McGurn. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and our WJCT app. And just ahead, we'll take your calls as we welcome Ken McGurn, candidate for Congress in this listening area's 3rd District. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, it's Going Green on the show today as we celebrate National Farmers Day. Also, October marks World Blindness Awareness Month. Did you know about WJCT's radio reading service for the blind? We'll tell you about it. That and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, businessman Ken McGurn of Gainesville is challenging two-term Congressman Ted Yoho for the U.S. House of Representatives Florida District 3 seat. And the Yoho-McGurn race is one of the only ones in the state where the two candidates are nearly evenly matched in terms of fundraising. The district has been regarded as a safe Republican seat. However, some Democrats like McGurn hope they can capitalize on Donald Trump's recent controversial remarks to make some inroads on Election Day. The state's redistricting process has also made District 3 slightly more favorable for an evenly matched contest. Ken McGurn joins us now with more about his campaign for Congress as he takes your calls. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to see you. And what are your questions for 3rd District Congressional candidate Ken McGurn? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email and tweet us or weigh in on our Facebook page. And so you're challenging incumbent Ted Yoho, Republican, business owner, veterinarian. You're also a businessman. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a veteran, and for folks who've been to Gainesville, I redeveloped the downtown. People ask, you're a businessman, why are you running? And I can tell you I'm a little shocked at that, and that my wife is even more shocked at it.
Why is that?
We never thought we'd run. That just never crossed my mind. But the short answer of why I'm running is because I care. I care that the Congress is dysfunctional, that our veterans are not getting the care that they earned, and the people are not being treated equally, all people.
And by that, are you referring to LGBT citizens, people of color, immigrants? Who are you referring to?
There's a lot of hate in our country. There's a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of fear. A lot of people wake up in the mornings, and they know they're going to get slurred, and some of them are fearful of their of being attacked. We need to stop that because all people are created equal.
And we're speaking with 3rd District Congressional candidate Ken McGurn. He's a Democrat. He's challenging Republican incumbent Ted Yoho for Congress. This district encompasses Gainesville and several surrounding counties, including parts of our listening area. Now, and by the way, we'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. For the second time in 2 days, a new poll finds Democrats with a 7-point lead in a generic congressional ballot. If they're looking at two generic candidates, Democrats are slightly more favored to oust Republicans in contested races, in part, research shows, due to recent controversial remarks made by GOP nominee Donald Trump. That said, your district still is one that leans Republican. Ted Yoho, who we will ask to appear on this program and talk about his campaign, can point to his record of sponsoring and passing legislation. So what is your case to the voters who maybe they don't like some of the rhetoric that Donald Trump has been bringing to this campaign, but they're not necessarily inclined to vote down ballot to oust Republicans, especially in a Republican-leaning district?
Well, we should look at Ted Yoho's record. He joined other folks and voted to shut the government down. That shutdown cost us 120,000 jobs during the middle of the recession. According to Standard & Poor's, that cost the American economy $24 billion and extended the recession. Because of that extension, people lost their homes. People lost their jobs. That's just wrong. I've been out there creating jobs, and I've got a plan. We've got rural areas who have not participate in this economic recovery. I'm going to bring jobs there. I've got a plan to do that.
And let's hear about it. I know that you're involved in solar power projects in your district, for example. What else?
Yes, I've been a believer in climate change. My opponent does not. And I've been putting solar power on my buildings, and I've got one of the largest solar projects in Marion County. If we bring that to this district, we can be the solar capital of the South. I mean, we're the Sunshine State. We ought to be doing that. And at the same time, we can bring jobs here. Jacksonville has going to be widening the port. We can bring in all the raw materials. We have a railhead. Take those materials down to Stark, to Palatka, Hawthorne, put in factories. We can manufacture the inverters. We can assemble the panels. And then we can put them on our buildings. And after we do that, we'll bring the cost down even more. And the cost of solar has plummeted lately. Then we can send those things out, ship them out to South Georgia and Southern Florida. We can make this a driving force for creating jobs. And our rural areas need jobs. We're already doing it in Gainesville. We already have training programs for people to build this. We just need to extend that to the rest of the district. All we need is vision and leadership.
And what would you say to supporters of Ted Yoho who think he has shown leadership? And when we talk about other issues such as foreign policy, Yoho has campaigned and has governed as a congressional representative who takes a hard line on fighting overseas terrorists. What about that issue, which is also of concern to voters in your district?
Well, it's easy to talk, but let's talk to somebody who's actually done it. I'm a trained counterintelligence agent. I spent 9 years with the military. I have
which branch?
Army.
Okay.
And I like to talk about boots on the ground, except I was with the 82nd Airborne Division and jumped out of perfectly good airplanes. I've had experience in the Middle East. I've actually been in Syria. I've been in Egypt, Lebanon. I've been in Turkey, where they're having all those problems. Matter of fact, I was an intelligence collector all by myself in Damascus, Syria. You do a lot of things that are pretty dumb when you're young.
I guess. You made it out alive. That's good news. Now, let me ask you then, if you're elected to Congress, what would you do to inform our policy? What would you do differently than your opponent? And what are your thoughts about our current policy? What are your thoughts about criticism of the White House's policy in Syria and in the Middle East generally?
Well, people talk about, should we put more boots on the ground? When we put boots on the ground, that means people are going to die. People are going to get hurt. People are going to have mental issues. And that's expensive. We're not funding what we're doing now. So I don't think we should put more troops there. We do have troops there. We will always have some troops there. So as the policy goes, we're letting the folks around, the Iranians and Iraqis, let them fight ISIS.
Do you think the Iran deal was a good or a bad deal?
Well, I went to Iran about that time and looked around and saw what it was. Iran can be an ally if we let it be, but there's bad folks in our party and bad part folks over there. It's just getting the two parties together. And they are next door to Russia, so they're not about to let go of those ties either.
You're one of the only candidates that is evenly matched in this cycle against your incumbent. Very few what they call close money races. In most of these races, challengers are wildly outmatched in terms of fundraising. However, you and your opponent, Mr. Yoho, are much more closer to fundraising parity. And, of course, to win any political contest, that counts for a whole lot. To what do you attribute your success in fundraising, which is very unusual right now in Florida? You basically are standing alone in this.
We have a lot of people who are very upset with Mr. Yoho's actions. They'd like to see him gone.
Why? What actions?
Well, for example, the University of Florida, we believe in research, and he's done nothing to help us. He touts that he has, but he doesn't believe in research. He wants to cut the federal government. We believe in creating jobs. He's been destroying them.
How has he been destroying them?
Well, for example, shutting the government down. And now he wants to default on the debt. He says, no, that's not true. I just don't want to make the payment on the debt. That's the same thing. He wants to default on that debt. Every time they talk about that interest rate, people get nervous about that. We have the strongest currency in the world. We cannot default on it.
Is most of your fundraising coming from the city of Gainesville, which is seen as a more progressive area in a more conservative district?
Most of it is, yes. And we're getting a lot of money from surrounding areas. And we've gotten money from Washington, from all over the country, because people have heard of the outrageous things that Yoho has done.
What is outrage? Now, Ted Yoho has made a number of comments over his tenure that have drawn some attention in the media. And by the way, we are extending an invitation to Congressman Yoho to appear on this program. We're also going to make our level best effort to get everyone running for local races on this program, including John Rutherford, his challenger David Bruderle, the CD5 candidates Al Lawson and Glo Smith, anyone who will be representing this area. We're trying to get on the air, just so folks know that we are working on that. But you said a moment ago your opponent has been outrageous. That's a very strong charge to level. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, for example, he said that perhaps only property owners should vote. Now, that's discriminatory on a lot of people. He's also kind of referred to the transgender people as, anyway, we won't go there. Those kind of statements. And he's pandered to a section of the population that is very prejudiced against blacks.
How so?
How so? Pandering? Well, going on talk shows with those folks, supporting them with letters, taking money from...
You're saying he's taken money from hate groups? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I believe there was one in that where the individual said... When are we going to kill that president? Took his money. Didn't correct him. Didn't say anything. Just not representing all of the citizens of this district.
Okay, and lots of calls as we speak with CD3 candidate Ken McGurn in his campaign to oust Representative Ted Yoho. Let's go to your calls right now. It's 549-2937. Lauren in Jacksonville Beach. Hi, Lauren. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. And this gentleman wouldn't represent you, but we are taking calls from across the area. So go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My husband and I are a dual military couple. We live in the Jacksonville Beach area. I'm just curious your opinion on the current House measure to cut dual BAH benefits for military families.
Okay, thanks for that question. Ken McGurn.
Well, I'm a veteran, and that's one of the reasons I got into this race, because the Congress and my opponent were underfunding the VA. We have more veterans coming into the system. We need to take care of them. America made a promise to them. They've earned those benefits, and we should not cut them. My opponent also voted to cut funding for PTSD, mental health services. We have a major need for that, because our veterans are committing suicide at 22 a day. We need to stop that. We need those mental health services. And that's one of the very reasons I got in this race, because I take that personally. I remember being shot at. I had those nightmares. We have people who are coming back from war who need the help to readjust back into civilian life. So when we're cutting those veteran services, that is breaking America's promise to our veterans.
What would you say to your potential constituents who want to help veterans, but they also like the Republican argument about the national debt, about our ongoing struggle to meet those financial obligations, and they see any sort of increase in funding for these issues as an unnecessary tax burden?
We made that promise to them. Now, the debt is a completely separate issue. We can handle the debt. It's unfortunate that we cut taxes and then went to war and didn't pay for that war when we should have. Now we're stuck with it. We need to create jobs, which I do, and that will grow us out of this problem we're in now. Actually, the debt is stabilized.
How many employees do you have?
Oh, difficult to say.
But primarily through your real estate business?
I have a real estate business, And also, we have startup companies. I have entrepreneurial...
You're an entrepreneur. You've got your fingers in a few pots.
Yes, we create jobs. In Gainesville, I brought thousands of jobs to our downtown, to the east side. And then I started an incubator to create businesses.
And you were part of an effort to redevelop downtown Gainesville.
Yes, we led. My wife and I did that.
What was it called? Was there a name for that effort, for those who aren't familiar with it?
It's a long-term project. No, there wasn't a name for it.
Okay. But what was the result?
The result was that, number one, we had empty streets, empty buildings. We now have thousands of people down there. It's just a vibrant cultural center. And the tax base was flat for like 20, 25 years. It's now up almost 800%. So the city has really benefited from the tax base that we've created.
Was that done with all private money, or was that a public-private partnership?
It was a public-private partnership. We went to Washington, got a grant to the city. The city lent me that money. I paid it back. The city made $3.3 million off of it. And the tax base now is now generating about $4 million more per year than it would have.
And lots of calls for CD3 congressional candidate Ken McGurn. He'll face Republican incumbent Ted Yoho on Election Day, 549-2937. Paul in Orange Park is with us. Hi, Paul. This is your district, I do believe. Good morning.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa, for taking my call. Unfortunately, I forgot your guest's name.
Ken McGurn.
Ken McGurn. Good. I like everything you're saying so far, and I think you would agree that paying down the national debt and eliminating the deficit is one of the most critical elements. I see two ways that we can do that. We can work towards that goal. One is to put the all the space projects in mothballs. You know, we're wasting money. To send people, humans to Mars is about the most absurd thing I can think of. And the other is not to get involved in wars like Syria, where it's another no-win situation. And if things really got bad over there, we could end up being, we're in a proxy war with Russia right now. And we could end up being in a direct war with Russia. And Putin has already said he's willing to use short-range nuclear weapons. Would you be inclined to get our entanglement in Syria, ended, and also cutting the space program?
Thanks, Paul. A couple of questions from him.
Well, first of all, wars are very expensive. We need to do that at the last resort. We need to be talking to people, working things out. We work something out with Iran. The Syrian issue is a major, major problem. Let me just tell you, I spent 9 years with the military, a year in Vietnam, and when we started to invade Iraq, I was out on the street corner protesting against that, because I knew it was going to be expensive. We're paying that price today. We should not go to war lightly. As far as the deficit is concerned, we can get through that deficit. If you look at what's happened in the last 6 years, the amount of loss that the government has been decreasing. So we are addressing that problem. The deficit is an issue, but it's solving itself as we increase employment. We just need to add more jobs. And that's what I'm all about. We increase the number of jobs, the number of people working, they will contribute to the system by paying taxes. We need to close some of these loopholes that people have, like the carried interest, like the corporations have, these big loopholes. If we get rid of that, we can collect an additional $1 trillion a year in taxes, which will reduce the deficit. That's the easiest way to do it.
The issue of the carried interest loophole came up at the Sunday night town hall between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. They both addressed that. What are your thoughts about the recent comments and controversies on the campaign trail that have hurt Donald Trump's ability to keep national Republicans by his side? concerns that Republicans may have about voting for him, although certainly there's lots of room for discussion there. Are you planning to campaign on the coattails of Trump's issues on the campaign trail?
Well, actually, Ted Yoho has been a surrogate for Donald Trump. He's been following him around, and I think he must agree with what he says, or at least some of the things that he says. And what Trump has said is just outrageous. And it shows you the true thinkings of somebody when they say things in private. For example, what Donald Trump has said, sexist remarks, he said racist remarks. My opponent, Ted Yoho, has also said racist remarks, so we need to look at what
they are. Tell us specifically what remarks he has made that you consider to be racist?
Well, for example, a transgender remark that was a blatant one. The one where he said
I believe that one he compared transgender people to animals, I believe. It was along those lines.
He didn't say it, but let's give him credit for that. He didn't say it, but he certainly implied it. And everybody took it that way. And when you say things, not the exact words, but you imply it, it's the same thing. How about let's only have property owners vote? Now, that's an interesting statement.
And what was the reasoning for that remark?
It was he just says it. What was the reasoning for Trump's some of these remarks? You have to look at what people are saying to say, okay, this person deep inside really believes this. Now, what he says and does on the outside, that's something different.
Are you challenging Mr. Yoho to remove his support for Trump's candidacy?
I have not done that, but it would be interesting to say that.
Let's go to Susan in Mandarin. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Well, I'm very happy to see that Ken has taken up, the position of campaigning strongly against Ted Yoho. Ted Yoho may be an incumbent. However, he is a relatively new representative. I can also tell you from personal experience with Mr. Yoho that he has point-blank excluded minorities, including myself, from participating in town hall meetings, specifically other than no reason that I am a minority and I'm a female. And so I think that when you look, at the character of a person, that should tell people a lot.
What do you mean? You're saying you were excluded from attending a meeting?
No, I was absolutely excluded from attending a town hall with Mr. Yoho and his staff because of my minority status.
How do you know that's why? Tell us what happened.
It was a evangelical leaders meeting on immigration. I'm an immigration attorney. All of the white people were invited. All of us were invited. All the white people remained invited. And all of the minorities were uninvited by his chief of staff.
What did they say to you?
They disinvited me.
Did they just ask you to leave? Did they ask you to leave?
When I asked them for the logistics of the meeting, they announced unceremoniously, but quite, openly and frankly, you are disinvited from this meeting.
But there's no way to prove, to be fair, there's no way to prove that your ethnicity was the reason why,
Well, I would say that, of the people who were, I would say that there were two, perhaps three reasons. One is because of my intimate knowledge of immigration policy, which was a big issue at that time and still remains so. Secondly, because I represented, minority interests, and those two issues were made very clear to me. Mr. Yoho is, ironically, as his name sort of connotes, he's clownish, he's ignorant. There's no comparison between he and Ken as far as their experience, their intellect, and their ability to cross the aisle. Ted Yoho is 100% somebody who does, as Ken mentioned, follow on the coattails of Mr. Trump. All you have to do is look at his Twitter feed, and you can see, the absolutely extraordinarily ridiculous and ignorant statements that Mr. Yoho has made the entire time that he's been in Congress.
Okay. And so, Susan, I appreciate the call. We're almost out of time, so I thank you for sharing your thoughts. Now, just a few weeks left to go until Election Day. Early voting starting very soon. Today is the deadline for voter registration. How do you see the rest of this campaign progressing?
Well, these ads have been just starting on both sides, TV ads, and we're just starting to get interest from the radio stations and getting our message out. So it's going to be very exciting next 3 weeks, and I do urge everybody to vote. When I went to Vietnam, I couldn't vote. I had politicians send me off to war, and I was too young to vote. That's not the case anymore. I will tell you, because of that, I've never missed an election, never missed voting in one. I urge everybody to vote.
Thanks for being with us. Ken McGurn is running for Congress in Florida's 3rd District. We're extending an invitation to his opponent, Ted Yoho, to join this program. And in the weeks leading up to Election Day, we hope to host all of the congressional candidates here in Northeast Florida. Much more still ahead later. We speak with award-winning animator H. Lee Peterson. But up next, it's Going Green, a look at National Farmers Day. Back in a moment.
Legal and political segments on First Coast Connect, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
From the panhandle to the peninsula, the Sunshine State's politics are as hot as the weather. Trump versus Clinton, the race for the U.S. Senate, new political boundaries and familiar issues. Join 89.9 every Friday at 1 p.m. for Decision Florida. Let your voice be heard.
Live from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network Storm Center with the newest information from the Hurricane Center.
We're before, not here. During, and after the storm.
We continue to track Hurricane Matthew. Really a rough time right now.
We can hear wind howling. We can hear that horizontal rain hitting our windows.
89.9 WJCT and the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. We're here for you.
Here in Jacksonville Beach, the floodwaters have largely receded.
89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
Welcome back. Well, it's Going Green today on the show as we talk about the growing movement toward local, sustainable, and organic agriculture and some of the challenges of eating organic. Guess what? Today is also National Farmers Day, a time to celebrate our local farmers and how they contribute to our health by growing healthy, local, and sometimes organic produce. We're pleased to welcome Jacksonville physician Dr. Sharir Nabizadeh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Danny Johns of Blue Sky Farms in Hastings. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melissa.
Let's begin with you, Danny Johns. It's National Farmers Day. So first of all, congratulations. We honor you today.
Well, thank you so much. I hope we're going to all do it three times today also.
So. Now, Blue Sky Farms is in Hastings, and it's part of the local contribution that agriculture makes to the First Coast. What do you grow there, and do you grow anything organic?
We are a fourth-generation potato farm. My great-grandfather came down in 1923. We are a potato farm. We used to grow chipped potatoes, now table stock, and we're branching out into leafy green vegetables and other things. We are a conventional farm. We use integrated pest management, IPM, so use as little as possible, but we are a conventional grower.
All right. Dr. Nabizadeh, you want to talk as well about, even though so much of the food that we eat as Americans is grown conventionally, certainly eating organic is something that more and more Americans are interested in doing. It's Going Green today on the show, and eating organic, you think, sometimes is more challenging than you'd like it to be, correct?
Absolutely.
And why is that?
knowledge, information, education is what's missing. And we are in a culture that a sense of responsibility for our health is not a top of our priorities. So our understanding of what's good for us is not has not been focused on. And without the education, without the understanding, without knowing the ramifications of bringing into the system the toxicity that can involve in the typical conventional farming is damaging. If you don't pay attention at this time, it will affect our children and our generations to come for many years.
Now, growing organic and not farming conventionally is more expensive, is my understanding, which is why more farmers aren't moving in that direction. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Danny Jones.
In agriculture, we have an increasing world population. There's going to be 9 billion people by 2050, so we've got to do a lot more with less. And that's where we've got to be very efficient with what we're growing, how we're doing things. We have the safest, cheapest food supply in the world, and we kind of take it for granted sometimes. But the nutrient value in produce, the most important thing is to eat fresh greens, fresh produce. And however it's grown is very important. We have a lot of guidelines from EPA and USDA on what standards are, how we farm. So for the world supply, we've got to be very efficient on what we do and feed a growing nation.
Sure, which is challenging. Dr. Nabizadeh, how in your view can this nation make it easier for people to eat organic and for producers to grow organic? I know that's something you care a lot about.
Absolutely. Like Danny was saying, we have a responsibility to feed our nations, feed the world. Absolutely. And we also have a responsibility to feed them correctly. There's really no point feeding somebody if you're feeding them toxins. However, as Danny was saying, that you can have a good sense of responsibility providing conventional growing methods and have enough education to the public that buys from you so they know what actually they're getting into, sense of transparency. And one of the things that if you do some research, you recognize that the organic, as we think it used to be meant to be organic, is not organic anymore.
So read your labels. What should people look for if they are interested in buying organic?
Read your labels and know labels are not exactly what they're supposed to be as well. U.S. Department of Agriculture has recently allowed the pesticides that were used in conventional farming come into organic farming. And people don't know that.
Then how can we know what we're eating? What should we do? I buy some organic foods, all, but
absolutely.
I do when I can. But
absolutely.
If for people that want only those foods, for example, and there are people like that, what should they, how do you read the label to know what's going into your body?
Again, that puts a responsibility on the consumer more than anything else. We cannot rely on the label. We cannot rely on agencies. We have to do our own research. The same way that we don't want to drive a car into a pothole in the street, we don't want to go jump on a ravine, we have to know what we are doing. We have to understand what we are putting in our body and what the labels mean. Free range doesn't mean free range. Simply organic made does not mean organic. USDA certified 100% organic does not even completely mean organic the way people want to believe it's organic.
Okay. And Danny Johns of Blue Sky Farms, as we talk about the produce and the breadbasket of the nation and Florida farmers, today is National Farmers Day, and whether you're an organic or a conventional farmer, I know it's important to you to mention briefly that fewer of us today have that sort of connection to rural America and to the land.
Yeah, less than 1% of the population now feeds the other 99%, and that's important to remember on National Farmers Day. And at Blue Sky, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. We sponsor a tour to farms, and you know, we participate in every tour we can to kind of show people where that food comes from, to get that connection back with the public and have the transparency where they understand how sophisticated agriculture has become.
Yeah. Here's an email from Rob. I live on the First Coast, and I'm happy to support local farmers and growers. I also am willing to pay more for organic. Now, increasingly, more Americans are willing to do that. What are both of your final thoughts? Because not only are we talking about local and sustainable agriculture, but also that movement contains within it more of a desire to produce organic when possible.
Absolutely. I mean, if you really go back to the organic movement happened in early 20th century, it was a recognition that significant amount of use of pesticides and cheap fertilizer was eroding the nature, decreasing the biodiversity, kind of decreasing resilience of nature, and decreasing our symbiotic relationship with the ecosystem. So they said, okay, we need to go organic. And the true organic, which was mentioned by Wendell Berry, was imitate the nature, imitate the ecosystem. And then Howard's and Rodale Institute came and said, okay, no, I mean, that's not really functional. We cannot imitate the nature because we're not hunters and gatherers anymore. We are farmers. We are an agricultural nation. So let's have a sustainable environment. We can repay the nature, increase the biodiversity, do the crop rotation, do the companion planting, do the crop covers and so forth. And to provide that, and like both you and Danny were saying, that supporting the local farming is utmost importance for any community. I mean, obviously, if you talk to anybody who does love ecosystem, they go back to say, I would love to have 100 families, one farm behind my house, know what I'm planting, what I'm growing, transparency, and exactly what I need to do, as opposed to have organic food that's shipped from California, we don't even stay alive.
Yeah, whether it's organic or conventional, certainly more and more of us want to buy locally. Danny Johns of Blue Sky Farms in Hastings, on this National Farmers Day, how can people do that?
Actually, I see this as a win-win, Melissa, because the people that want organic, that's available to them. And to me, I love to surf. I love to fish. So the environment is critical to me. My land is my biggest asset. That's how I make my living. That's where my family lives. So it behooves all of us to work together on a very important part of society, which is agriculture, for national security and a lot of other, you know, economic reasons that you know, the driver that we are there also. So it's a common, actually it's a win-win for everybody here. So,
well, thanks so much for being with us. It's National Farmers Day, and we thank you so much for being with us, Danny Johns of Blue Sky Farms in Hastings, and Dr. Sharir Nabizadeh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This Going Green segment is brought to you by the Unitarian Universalist Church of Jacksonville.
Alan Greenspan, former Fed chairman, the maestro he was called, but yeah, about that.
He talks about frothy markets, and he wonders, should the Fed do something about this? That's why I called my book The Man Who Knew, but he was not the man who acted.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Alan Greenspan, a new biography next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Pianist Mitsuko Uchida on Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 24.
Above all, this piece is quietly dramatic. It is one of the deepest and most extraordinary of his concerto works.
Mitsuko Uchida and the Cleveland Orchestra in concert on the next Performance Today from APM. Weeknights at 7 on 89.9 WJCT.
Unlock your newest member benefit. Over 1,000 episodes of your favorite PBS shows. American Masters. Antiques Roadshow. Nature. Nova. Masterpiece. Watch the best of PBS anytime, anywhere. Become a member. Sign in and start streaming today.
WJCT.org/passport.
Welcome back. October is World Blindness Awareness Month. So today we're going to inform you about some important programs related to blindness. Thursday night, a special show about vision called Sight, the Story of Vision. Catch it tomorrow night at 7 on our WJCT More TV channel. It's an hour-long doc looking at the history and science of vision with the stories of people who are battling blindness. Comcast subscribers can find Sight, the Story of Vision on WJCT More on channel 212. You can use your antenna to locate channel 7.4. Go to storyofsight.com. Now, World Blindness Awareness Month is also our chance to remind listeners about WJCT's radio reading service for people who are visually impaired. Our Morning Edition host, Michelle Coram, manages that, and it's such a wonderful service, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the only service of its kind on the First Coast, and it provides news and information to the community members in Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia who don't have sight or maybe have a physical impairment of some kind that can't handle a newspaper, 24 hours a day on its own special sub-channel.
Absolutely. And volunteers come in every day to our radio reading studio to read to people at home with low vision. People need a special radio to hear the service. Let's talk about that.
Well, the radio is free. If you fill out an application on our website, just go to wjct.org/radio reading, fill out a website. We will send you a radio free. There's no charge. And you get live streaming, a podcast of the Florida Times Union reading also on that website. So 8 to 11, Monday through Friday, we read the Florida Times Union for people without sight.
And it's really a lifeline for people that want to keep up with the news, but they just aren't able to read the newspaper.
Right. A lot of them want to hear what's in the local paper. That's one of the first things that they miss when they lose their sight or their sight starts to diminish. They like to hear about the obituaries. They like to hear the opinion columns and editorials that are part of the newspaper. That's a very unique service. And we do have about 900 people who listen to our database. And Melissa, one of our loyal listeners is right here next
to me,
Doug Hansard. He's with us here in the studio today. It's his voice you hear on the website reading the program schedule. He's got a nice voice. And he's also president of the Jacksonville Council of the Blind. And as someone who, as he describes himself, is sightless and on the go, he wanted to remind us about an event coming up on Saturday.
That's right, Doug. So good to have you on. Let's talk about October 15th, which is White Cane Safety Day. Tell us about this observance.
Well, first of all, again, thank you for having me on. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Melissa. White Cane Safety Day, Saturday, October 15th, between 10 and 12 noon. We are the Jacksonville Council of the Blind, along with members of the NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, will be taking our White Cane Walk at the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center, 5909 University Boulevard West. And we're going to do our White Cane Walk. And this is to alert the public about the safety of those who use a white cane or a service animal, and especially and more so for pedestrians at large.
Sure. Florida's white cane law states that drivers must fully stop when they approach an intersection or a street where any person is attempting to cross with a white cane tipped with red. That means that person it has low to no vision. So Saturday, October 15th, is White Cane Safety Day in Florida. Look out for Doug and others with white canes on Saturday as they mark the observance. And we're so pleased to talk about White Cane Day and also Blindness Awareness Month. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Melissa.
And in a moment, legendary film editor H. Lee Peterson.
On the next Fresh Air, the author of Marijuana, A Short History, John Hudak. 24 states have legalized medical marijuana, 4 permit recreational use, but pot remains illegal under federal law. We'll talk about some of the challenges ahead as pot becomes an increasingly big business in an age of conflicting laws and regulations. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Hi, this is Andrew Wickman, host of Blues Horizon. Join WJCT's After Hours every Monday night at 11 for the best in classic and modern blues. Join us as we build the perfect blues playlist and then take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon every Monday night at 11 on 89.9 FM Public Radio.
They call it Stormy Monday.
For everyone discovering life after 50, WJCT proudly presents Next Avenue, a website where grown-ups keep growing. Visit us at wjct.org/nextavenue. It's today's modern guide for adulthood, part 2. Sponsored in part by AARP, Real Possibilities.
Welcome back. Finally this hour, he is the premier film editor for some of Hollywood's most popular and classic animated films. H. Lee Peterson is the editor behind such beloved titles as Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Pocahontas, and many others. He was also the editor of Madagascar 1, 2, and 3, and his films have grossed more than $2 billion around the world. Now, Peterson is in town this week from California, and he's going to deliver a master class tomorrow on the art of animation film editing. This is happening on the UNF campus. We're pleased to welcome H. Lee Peterson and also Jerry Smith of Pine Ridge Film and Television, who helped arrange this. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
First of all, let me say I'm a big fan of your work, and so are my daughters. They've seen all of your films, and I'm sure many people listening can say the same. The editor of Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, Pocahontas. You also had involvement in some other movies that I just love, like How to Train Your Dragon. And what you do is so magical. But I think there's a lot of mystery to the process, what an editor does with an animated film. And I know in the class you'll be explaining a little bit about that, yeah?
Yes, I'm going to hopefully explain the process in a concise and way that the kids can understand. And my motivation is to help, kids who might want to pursue this field and what my experience was doing this to get to this point.
How you got started and how you developed this amazing career.
Right.
Jerry Smith of Pine Ridge Film and TV, you have known H. Lee since he was first starting out.
He actually came from the University of Kansas, moved up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and of course I, being a Kansan, had to immediately hire him. Mm-hmm. And he edited, I think, really one of his first films at my company. He was there for about 6 years, and then he left for Hollywood.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And animation editing, I'm sure, is different than live action.
It is. However, what you're doing to the film is kind of the same, whether it's live action or not. It's the subtle differences that you make out of a scene or a character or putting a pause or creating a performance out of the, audio that's recorded, mm-hmm. and trying to help find the center of the story and focus the film in those areas.
So. And I'm sure it's hard to pick just one film. It's like picking your favorite child, but do you have a favorite film or a favorite scene in a film that showcases your work?
I think probably, Aladdin and putting together the genie's entrance into when he enters the film. And that the genie was played by Robin Williams.
Right.
And
God rest his soul.
He was a talented person. And when he created this role of the genie, he was really at the top of his game, and he was doing so much improv.
And did you have to work with him in the studio as he was laying down the voice?
Yes, I'd be there, and,
And how do you edit that? Because he's just stream of consciousness improvising.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in that particular case, it was sort of a unique situation in that these were the days before we had word processors and you could move text around.
Uh-huh.
You have to realize back then you just could type out a sheet of paper. And so I had them transcribe everything that he said. And then we sat down with the director and the animator, and we sort of pieced together, you know,
a sequence.
And we did it. So I, from this transcript, I would highlight the areas that we wanted to incorporate, and then I cut them out and placed them on a piece of paper, and I called it sort of ransom note editing. It kind of looked like a ransom note, but it allowed us to formulate
hilarious.
This scene.
These kids at UNF are going to be fascinated by this Stone Age
yes,
method.
Yes, really
incredible
is.
Story. And I'm sure that's just one of many you're going to delight this very lucky group of students with. Jerry, this masterclass on film editing for animation is coming up on the 13th at UNF.
Yes, ma'am. And I believe they can go on the UNF.org site. And
UNF.edu.
EDU.
Yeah.
That's right. And that will lead them to the communications department. They give full instruction. You do have to sign up to attend. So they encourage you to go on the site and tell them you're coming.
By the way, H. Lee Peterson, you worked on music videos before you started working on these Hollywood
yes.
classics.
Mm-hmm.
You worked with Rick Springfield. Please tell me you edited the Jesse's Girl video. Please tell me you did that.
I did.
Because I'll never forget that one.
I did work on some of those videos.
Yes, wow. What an amazing talent. You worked on with Michael Jackson on Moonwalker, among many other highlights.
Yes. Moonwalker was a film which sort of, you know, had a lot of Michael's videos put into it. And there was no performer like him. I mean, give him 100,000 people and a piano. He could spin in Minneapolis, and you could cut to him in Fairbanks, and he was great.
Well, you are too. What a talent. We're pleased to speak with H. Lee Peterson, the film editor behind some of the most beloved animated films of our era, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Pocahontas, and many more. Go to unf.edu for tickets to tomorrow's master class on the UNF campus with H. Lee Peterson, joined alongside Jerry Smith of Pine Ridge Film and Television. Gentlemen, so good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you.
That's our show. I'm Melissa Ross. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.